Well, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Psalm. We're looking at the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm chapter 62. Psalm chapter 62. We do have several prayer requests. I'll just remind you very briefly about. And Brother Mike Davis was in and out of the hospital this week, doing better. Keep him in your prayers. And keep Miss Marty Whiffen in your prayers. And also, Mary Hokett's mom is will be having a hip surgery coming up. And Phil Hokett's sister is still not doing well. Let's remember that family in prayer. Give strength to Brother Miss Hokett. Amen. And then continue to be in prayer for Brother Jack Brown and keep him in your prayers. And so many. We need to be in prayer for our church family. Amen. Amen. All right, if you would, in Psalm 62, look with me in... Let's look at verse 1. Truly my soul waited upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Look at verse 6 and 7 here. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He is in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. Notice again the end there. And what it's saying is, He is the rock of my strength, and He is the rock of my refuge, and that rock is God, is in God. Amen? Look over with me at Psalm. Just turn over a couple of pages there to Psalm 94. And literally, we could spend a lot of time going over this, the word refuge in the Bible that's found so many times in which it alludes to or pictures our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Psalm 94, and look with me in verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Amen. What a great verse. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And He shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. I tell you what, we can see from both of these passages that we need to rely upon the rock. Our rock, our refuge. When those would rise up against us, when times of trials and testings and mischief would befall us, it is the God, our refuge, that we should flee to. It's the God of our refuge that will protect us and defend for us. And what a great refuge we have. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this time to come and study Your Word. We pray as we study this great subject, You would give insight and clarity of thought. And it would be an encouragement to those who come out on this Sunday morning. We do think about those who are sick this morning, those who are going through times of trials and testings and tribulations. We pray, Lord, that You'd be with them and strengthen them. All of us, Lord, who face uncertain days, we ask this in Your name. Amen. The Bible describes for us cities of refuge. And so when the Bible refers to refuge, many times it is, even over in Hebrews chapter 6, we preached on a couple of years ago about Paul's talking about the refuge, the hope and refuge, and that is our Savior Jesus Christ. And so when Paul in Hebrews chapter 6 refers to refuge, he's referring back to, if you would, the illustration and the cities that are described for us in Numbers chapter 35 and in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and also in Joshua chapter 20. In which God established in the law six cities of refuge. And so in the law, Moses gave, when he gave the law, he gave to the children of Israel six cities in which they were to set up as a refuge to those who committed accidental murder, if you would, or accidental accidentally kill someone. All right? So in the Old Testament, you had these six cities of refuge. These cities were set up in that when a man accidentally killed somebody, a woman accidentally killed somebody, they could flee to the city for refuge. And there they would be, of course, found, and there would be a trial take place. And in that trial, they would be found guilty or innocent of involuntary manslaughter. If they were convicted of murder, they would be killed. But if it was involuntary manslaughter, in other words, they killed accidentally, maybe they were chopping some wood and the axe handle came off and hit somebody and killed somebody, then they could stay in the city of refuge and stay there and be safe from the person whom may be trying to kill them, such as kinfolks of the person that he accidentally killed. Everybody with me? All right? And so this city was set up for that. He could not leave the city. So if you went to the city refuge after accidentally killing someone, you were to stay in that city until the high priest died. Until the high priest died. And there's a lot more to this story, but we're going to stick with that. But the high priest died. Then they could leave and go back to their home. There's a lot here. What a great refuge. What a great picture of Jesus Christ being our refuge. They would flee to this city for refuge. And so again, drawing from this, in Deuteronomy chapter 19, when Moses is preaching to the children of Israel, he reminds them of these cities of refuge that will be set up. In fact, he alludes to that they may prepare when they built these cities and make sure that the cities were accessible, always accessible to those who may flee to the city. Man, there's a great message there as well. Then in Deuteronomy, in Joshua chapter 20, Joshua divides the land up and they set an order and they put these cities in order and they put these cities of refuge in place. The Levites were in charge of these cities. The priests were in charge of these cities, as well as 42 other cities. They had 48 cities that were given to the priests, the Levites, and they were to take care of these cities, and they were also to take care of the accessibility to these cities. This refuge, what a great city, what a great illustration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible again says here that He is our refuge, our defense, and that He is the God, the rock of my refuge. When we talk about foundations, and we've alluded to this in the last few weeks and even this last year, that God is our rock. What kind of rock is He? He's an immutable rock. He doesn't move. He's a firm foundation. Man, he can be trusted. Amen? He is that kind of rock. He is the rock in which the Bible says we are to flee to. He is our hope. Our hope. Colossians chapter 1 describes our blessed hope that we're to look forward to in the future. This refuge, Jesus Christ, is one in which we can flee to every day. Every day we're to flee to Him. Every time you need a place in your life, when the storms of life rage and the trials and testings and tribulations come, you can flee to Jesus Christ, the rock of your refuge. The rock of refuge. What kind of refuge is meant here? The refuge is simply a shelter. A protection. It's a place to go to in distress or difficulty. And Jesus is described as this refuge. There's personal refuges. I personally have refuge that I can go to, and that's my parents who are still alive, and godly parents whom I can go to and rely on. You may have refuges such as that. Members of your family whom you may rely on at times, and at times they are your refuge, your personal refuge. We can confide in them. I confide in my dad and go to him for help. And so you probably have someone like that as well. David had one like this in the Bible, in which Jonathan was his personal refuge. Remember that? Saul was out to kill him. And on two different occasions especially, Jonathan, Saul's son, saved David from death. Amen? Then there's the refuge talked about here. These are cities, castles, walled cities, safe places to go to. Proverbs describes that the rich man takes refuge in his riches, which he shouldn't count on. Proverbs chapter 18. Again, in the Old Testament, we have these six cities of refuge. By the way, the Bible describes six cities in the Old Testament in which they were to go to for refuge. But in the New Testament, we have only one person who's a refuge, a rock of refuge, who is, again, unshakable, unmoving, and that is Jesus Christ. One refuge that is truly reliable. One refuge that will not fail us. One refuge that will not crack or crumble, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what a great refuge who He is. Listen, no matter what you may be facing this morning, Jesus Christ is a rock of refuge. A rock of refuge. He is our need this morning. Listen, we have a need for a refuge every day. And I'm going to stress this as the message goes on. Our need of refuge. We have a need of refuge in salvation. Listen, we are all born sinners under the guilt of sin. The Bible says that justice demands sacrifice. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. The God of the universe came 2,000 years ago and shed His blood on Calvary. Shed His blood, His precious blood, the Bible says. He was as a lamb without spot, without blemish, without sin. Jesus Christ laid down His life there on the cross, and there He died for my sin. He paid the price for my sin. He died in my place. He paid the penalty for my sin. He gives salvation. He is the rock of salvation. Listen this morning. Justice is pursuing you. If you're lost this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, justice is on your heels. Justice is on your heels. You say, well, God is a loving God. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Absolutely correct. But justice. God is not only a God of love, He's a God of justice. He's a God of wrath. And He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have salvation from that penalty of sin in that refuge which is Jesus Christ. And only through Him and through His shed blood on Calvary. And we must flee to the God of our refuge, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to flee to the refuge every day when it comes to temptation. In this world we fight against various temptations from the world and from the flesh and from the devil. All drawing us away from our Lord Jesus Christ. All drawing us away. I tell you what, we are so bombarded today with temptation. It's just unbelievable. I believe personally there's never been an hour since Christ's death where sin has been so readily accessible and so visually open. It's unbelievable. I know during the Roaring Twenties, we might go back and study those times and see that immorality was also at a very high rate. But immorality today is just rampant today. And socially acceptable. And there are many temptations out there today that we face on a daily basis. And listen, we need a refuge to go to flee from that temptation. The world is constantly drawing us to a bigger and better home, one we can't afford, a car we can't afford. You know, they still put these commercials on the TV that says, you know, 60 months, no interest financing, man. It makes you want to go out and buy a car, doesn't it? And it just keeps drawing you until you get yourself in a position where you can't pay your bills. Amen? We need a place to go to flee from that temptation, from this old world that's drawing us into those things. And then we got the old flesh that continues to fight against us, you know, that war within. As a saved, born-again believer, we're constantly fighting that battle between the spiritual man and the carnal man, right? Between the flesh, between the old man and the new man. Nobody has that battle. Romans chapter 7 says Paul did. Paul fought. He had a war within his members. And the things he wanted to do, those are the things he didn't do. And the things he shouldn't do, those are the things he did. And he said there's just a constant struggle to do right, constant struggle on the other side to do wrong. And he said, there's a war within me. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? He said, I thank God who is able. Jesus Christ, our refuge, delivers us from the flesh. He's the one that delivers us from this old world. And then you got the old devil who's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's out to destroy you. He's out to destroy your life. He's out to destroy your family. He's out to destroy this church. Everybody believes the devil's real, right? And not just a little guy in a little red suit with a little pitchfork. The Bible describes him as an angel of light, as one of the anointed cherubs. And I tell you what, he is powerful, powerful, and very, very much organized. And he is out to get the person who is saved and born again and trying to live right and do right. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to stomp you in the ground, right? And he wants to destroy you, your life, your church, your family, your marriage, your kids. And we must do everything we can to fight that. If you're really going to fight against the old devil, the Bible says you need to flee to the refuge, which is Jesus Christ. I can't fight him in my own strength. I fight him when I'm in Christ. When I'm in that walled city, when I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm given strength to face that temptation. Oh, I tell you what, our kids are bombarded, parents, grandparents. Some of you, you may have some false ideas of what's going on in some of our schools and going on with some of our kids. It is unbelievable. And we need to pray for our kids and strengthen them and encourage them and pray for our teenagers. Amen. I'm sitting over here. Good looking bunch of crew over there. We must go to Christ for strength. We fight the good fight of faith. We fight against this old flesh, the devil, and the world. We need to be as David, as he was with Goliath, and go in the name of the Lord. David said, I don't come to you with sword and shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen? Too many times in my own life have I fought against these things in my own strength. And though for a time you can stand the test, and you can buck it up, you know, get up! Put your boots back on. Get up off the ground. You know, pull the boots back on again. Pull the boots back on again. And just becomes a grind. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a life that's just a grind. In fact, Jesus did not expect me or want for me a life that was just a grind. He said He came to give me a life and give me a life more abundant. Amen. We ought to be experiencing that life. If you're going to experience the abundant life, you better go to the city of refuge. You better fly and flee to the Lord, our refuge, to Jesus Christ. He's not only there in times when we need salvation and times of temptation. He's there in times of trouble. Just imagine there the disciples on that great Sea of Galilee, on that great lake, if you would. I always like to clarify that. The Bible calls it the Sea of Galilee. It's a big lake. It's not even as big as Lake Texoma, but I tell you what, if you've ever been on a lake that big, you can know how a storm can come up. And they were on that lake, and a storm came up, and Jesus said, peace be still, and the water's just as clear as glass, just as smooth as glass. It's amazing, isn't it? I know I've said this before, but when Jesus said, peace be still, when He said, peace be still, it became smooth as glass. It didn't do this either. You know how if you were to stop water, it still does this? No. That's the God that I serve. That's the Lord, our refuge. And in times of trouble that we face every day, when trials come our way, and, you know, we go to dad and we go to mom, we may go to a father, we may go to mother, we may go to a grandparent, and seek some refuge and seek some wisdom, and that's all right. But listen, the greatest refuge you can have in times of trouble is Jesus Christ. To get on your knees and come before Him and flee to the altar of Jesus Christ and grab a hold of the horns of that altar and say, Lord, I need You. I can't do it without You. I can't face this without You. And He answers, by the way, because He's promised to. Some of us can look out in our life and see some dangers that are threatening. This is one of those ones you think about. We sing that little chorus as kids. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? The number four of this point is, a lot of times we look out to the dangers that we see in front of us and we worry about them and we fuss over them and our stomachs get knotted up about them. And instead of going to the God of our refuge and giving them to Him, we take that burden upon ourselves. And when the storm gets here, it's not a big deal. More than half the time, the storm that comes, it's not as rough as what it looks like when it's way out there. I've been on lakes many times fishing. And, you know, they'll call for storms. And here comes the storm, here comes the rain. And you think it looks terrible. It looks like it's going to come a deluge. And when it gets there, you know, it's three sprinkles. Listen, don't worry over three sprinkles. Don't worry over things that you can't, the dangers that you may face in the future. Don't worry over those things that you can't control. Amen? And realizing as your life goes on, and some of the auditorium would be do a lot better job of giving testimony to this, but giving testimony to the fact that a lot of those storms, if they come, they're smaller than we figured they would be. Oh, listen, we need to go to the city of refuge. And when you see the storm coming, when you see the danger coming, go to the Jesus Christ. Go to the refuge that will not fail you. Go to the refuge that will not crumble. Go to that refuge, Jesus Christ, that will not be moved, and seek wisdom and guidance and direction from Him. We are to go to Him. What kind of refuge is Jesus Christ? He's a refuge appointed by God. Appointed by God. Listen, God told Moses, said, you set up these six cities of refuge so that not only Israel, but it also said strangers, those who were Gentiles, would have a place to go to if they accidentally killed somebody. Listen, Jesus Christ has been appointed this refuge, a refuge in time of danger, a refuge in time of temptation, a refuge in time of salvation. Listen, if you're not saved this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to come to this refuge. Listen, if you're in temptation or you're in some danger or you see some danger in the future, you need to go to this refuge. Why? Because He is appointed of God. He is appointed by God. Not only is He appointed by God as our refuge, but He is appointed as our refuge by way of this. He is not only, He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. As a priest, He comes to satisfy. He satisfies the hungry soul every time. He's promised to satisfy that hungry soul every time. He satisfies. He supplies all our needs as our priests. As a prophet, He is there to teach us and guide us. Amen? He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. As king, this is the one I want you to get this morning. As king, what does the king do? He protects and He defends. Jesus Christ, our refuge, protects us. He defends us. He's there as our prophet, our priest, and our king. By the way, He is a sufficient refuge in that He is able to support us. He has a never-ending supply. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen? Listen, He never lacks supply. He never lacks strength. He never lacks, if you will, goodwill towards us, loving us. He has an unending love for us. He secures for us and forgives us. I'm glad He's a forgiving God. Amen? Boy, the grace and mercy He gives to us. But He's sufficient. We don't need another. He's the greatest refuge of all. By the way, that refuge of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is not very far from any of us. I didn't write down the scriptures, but I read probably 6 or 7 that talk about Jesus Christ being near to us. Acts says He's not very far from any of us. Acts chapter 17. He's near to us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is close to us. He's not a refuge that is far removed. He's not a refuge that is out in space somewhere, you know, Father Time with His little deal, you know, sitting around. No, He's God. He's God of this universe who is very much involved with His creation. He didn't wind up the earth like a clock, throw it into outer space and said, I'll see you in a few 1,000 years. No. He created us for His good pleasure. He created man to have fellowship with them. And He wants to have a personal relationship with us. He's not very far from any of us. He's near to all of us. He is a close refuge. What does that mean, preacher? It means, ring, ring, hello? The Lord's always there. You never get a busy signal, amen? You never get voicemail. Goodness. He's close. I'm glad, too, He's no respecter of person. This refuge, it was the refuge that was set up by Moses was not just for the Jew. You go read it over in there in Numbers, it was also for the stranger, for the Gentile. I'm glad Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. No matter rich or poor, black or white, God loves everyone. Amen. By the way, no matter the sin. See, in the city of refuge, you could only go to the city of refuge if you accidentally killed somebody. But if you murdered somebody, if you killed them on purpose, then eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Amen? That's what the law taught. But that's not the New Testament grace that we have. Jesus Christ loves us unconditionally. Paul was a murderer. Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, was a murderer. He stood there holding the coats at the feet of Stephen when they stoned Stephen to death. But he loved Paul. Amen. You say, well, my sin is this, and my sin is this, preacher. No, Jesus Christ is willing that all should come to Him. He will receive all. He'll refuse none. That's the kind of refuge we have. By the way, it's better than the Old Testament. Amen. Paul stated that many times in Corinthians. He said, we have so much better than the Old Testament. The New Testament is far more glorious than the Old Testament. I've already stated this one, but we have an unchangeable refuge. Those six cities of refuge in Israel are gone. Gone. Jesus is not. Jesus is alive today. Our refuge is eternal. Again, ready to receive all. Let me tell you this, He's our only refuge in that He said Himself, Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If we're to be justified before God, that word justified means just as if we'd never sinned, which is the only way we can come before God. If we are to come before God justified, we must come through Jesus Christ. We must come through Jesus Christ. Listen, we must understand this morning as well that in order for us to live the Christian life, not only do we come to the refuge of Jesus for salvation, but we also come to Him for living. He's not only the one that saves us, He's the one that gives us the strength to live for Him. We see this all in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave His life for us. We are more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When I preached on this subject a couple of years ago, I read, my text was Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to go read that again if you want to turn over there in conclusion. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Our Lord and Savior is a great refuge. We have hope in Him. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which within the veil. Our hope, our anchor, our steadfast anchor, our sure anchor is found in the laying hold of the refuge. That refuge is Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying here is, as we look into the future, in Colossians 1:15 says the same thing, we are looking forward to the hope that Christ has set before us. And that hope is the anchor of our soul. I don't know how many times in my own life that I've come to danger, I've come to toils in life and stress and pocketbook stress, kids stress, job stress, health stress. Go to the doctor, you say, this is wrong with me, and he takes all those tests, and he says, nothing's wrong with you. I say, yeah, there is, doc, I don't feel good. Nothing wrong with you, okay? Stress, whatever. You go through all that, listen, and all those things. You know what? You know what the anchor is? You know what the steadfastness is in my life? It's not my health. It's not my family. It's not my church family. You know what the steadfastness and anchor of my life is? You know what keeps me anchored down? Jesus Christ. Because He's the only one that's immutable. He's the only one that doesn't change. that hope and looking forward to that hope. We have hope, a refuge in time of danger, both sure and steadfast. You must understand this morning that if we're to have hope, we must lay hold to the refuge of Jesus Christ. Run to Jesus. Go to Him. Take hold of Him. Listen this morning. Take hold of Jesus Christ. You say, how do I do that, preacher? You get in your closet alone with Him and you take hold of Him. You say, Lord, this is where I'm at in my life. This is the temptation. This is the trial that I'm maybe facing in the future. And God, I just pray I lay it at Your feet. I'm taking hold on You to take care of this in my life, to give me wisdom and direction in my life. Take hold of Him. He'll do it for you. He'll give you direction. Run to Him. Life is short. Life is short. Well, I tell you what. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And life is short. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Run to Jesus. Don't waste time fretting and fussing and, you know, having those ulcers in your stomach. Though I know not all the time are created by stress. But go to Him. Go to Him and He'll help you. Cling to the One who will not move. Cling to that anchor that is steadfast and sure. Why should we run to Him? Because Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 and 29 and verse 30 says that His yoke is easy and His burden's light. I tell you what a great God we serve. What a tremendous Lord we serve. Do you know the refuge this morning? Have you gone to Him, the rock of our refuge? Is Jesus Christ the foundation of your life? Is He the one that holds you firm and steadfast? Or are you relying upon something else? Another rock or another foundation, by the way, that's movable. Boy, come to Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you accepted Him today? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know today if you were to die, you'd have a home in heaven? If you don't, won't you step out of your chair during this time of music we're fixing to do and come down here and somebody will show you from the Bible how you can know you can have eternal life. How you can have that permanent refuge in Jesus Christ. Christian, this morning, what temptation are you facing? What danger are you facing? What trial may you be in the midst of? Have you took hold upon Jesus? Have you ran to Him? They tell us that in this law, in Deuteronomy 19, Moses alludes to it. They say that in this law, that the Levites were required to set up officers over these six cities, these cities of refuge. And these six officers, one in charge of each city, was in charge of not only the trials and things and making sure that those who came to the city of refuge were not just let in because they said they were, you know, committed the act accidentally, but there was a trial that took place. An officer was also in charge of making sure that the road to the city was clear and accessible by those who would run to that city. Christian, this morning, we need to be that officer that makes sure the road is clear. We need to be sure that we're the ones who are not a stumbling block to someone else who may be fleeing to the city of refuge. Let us be careful in our lives and let us be careful in our testimony. Let us be about the work of Jesus Christ, moving rocks, moving obstructions, telling others about Jesus, about this wonderful city of refuge. Listen, the greatest joy in life is knowing Jesus as your Savior. And secondly, only to that, is leading someone else to the Savior. You will never have the joy as a Christian that you can truly experience until you take someone to the city of refuge. You remove a rock or you remove a stone. You fill in the pothole to make sure somebody can reach Jesus. What are you doing to help others reach Jesus? Let's all stand.